As we interact more with machines, smart speakers, self-checkout kiosks, I wonder if we'll even start to have relationships with machines. As part of her series on how artists and criminals use technology, NPR's Laura Seidel introduces us to an artist and the robot he created to be a friend.
Boxy was a robot that lived at a lab at MIT in Boston. It was made of cardboard, it was about the size of a microwave oven, and it rolled around like a toy tank. It would approach people with its big, round, black eyes wide open and ask something like this.
I'd like you to take a look around. Can you take me somewhere interesting?
Oh, okay. Let's go upstairs, the third floor.
Boxy's creator, Alexander Rieben, is an artist. He was also working on his PhD at MIT in robotics. One day, he was watching Boxy, and something big happened. Something that would change the course of his work. It started with a man walking into the lab.
I remember I saw him from a distance laying on the carpet in the middle of the lab talking to this robot on the ground.
I've never been to Boston before, first time. It's a great little city, although I find myself stranded right now.
And he just started talking to this thing like it was another person.
Because I was supposed to go to Munich today, but the volcano in Iceland kind of prevented that. So anyway, I'm just kind of stranded. Anyway.
That conversation was a revelation for Rieben. He'd built Boxy small and light to see if he could get people to move it around. Now he realized that some of the characteristics that made people want to help Boxy also seduced them into talking with the robot. It was cute. It seemed vulnerable. He teamed up with another artist and filmmaker, Brent Huff, to see if they could design a robot that people would want to open up to. They carved a smile into its face.
It's the perfect smile. It's kind of a Mona Lisa smile. It's open and engaging to make sure that that was as non-judgmental and non-threatening as possible.
They gave it the sweet voice of Huff's 8-year-old son.
There was some consideration of, like, what are the deepest, most important questions we have as people?
Such as,
who do you love most in the world?
If you could give someone any gift, what would it be?
And it had a camera and a recorder inside to catch the answers. They called the new robot Blabdroid.
The idea is that there's not as much judgment in a robot asking you a question as a journalist like yourself, who will come from NPR into the heartland and ask maybe a question that would be maybe answered differently. I don't know if that's true or not. I would like to find out.
So would I. We set up a loose experiment. I would ask people the same questions as Blabdroid. And like the robot, there wouldn't be any follow-up questions. See if you can guess whether this man, Nate Mazur, is talking to me or a robot.
Who do you love most in the world?
Who do you love most in the world?
My wife. Yeah, my ability to be with her. And that's something that's so precious to me. She makes this a better world. That makes this a better world for me.
Here's another one.
If you could give someone any gift, what would it be?
If you could give someone any gift, what would it be?
I would give my mother the gift of not worrying about me before she dies. And she wants me to lose like a ton of weight and get really, really healthy. And she needs to see that before she dies for her to feel like I'm gonna be okay when she's not here. And I wish I could give her that, and I'm not positive I can.
Nate Mazur had been talking to me. Judith Helfand was pouring her heart out to Blabdroid. She says she felt more open when she knew there wasn't a person listening.
The robot was just a means to get closer to myself at a really critical moment in my life.
Helfand says it's been over 2 years since her mother passed away. She's been struggling with her career.
I probably could use the robot right now. You know, meditation really isn't working for me, and I can't seem to find the courage to sit and write down what my future plans are so that I could make them really happen. But I bet I could do it if I had that little robot asking me those questions instead of me sitting by myself with my computer.
I asked Sherry Turkle, a professor of science and technology at MIT, to listen to the responses. She couldn't tell whether people were talking to Blabdroid or me. Blabdroid, with its sweet voice, Mona Lisa smile, and probing questions.
It's pushing in us a kind of Darwinian button.
Turkle has been studying human-machine relationships for decades. She says it really doesn't take much to get humans to open up to a robot.
That's what I learned, that we are kind of cheap dates.
Turkle says robots don't even have to be cute. In her research, she found a child that vented to Apple's Siri on an iPhone.
And talk about her anger towards her sister and towards her parents in ways that she didn't feel she was free to do to her parents, because in person she tries to always play the good daughter.
Turkle says over time, the child wasn't happy.
There was almost a feeling of abandonment. Like, is this it? There's no place they can go after they get the confession. They really can't offer the nurturance and the care, the conversation and the empathy. And the robot cannot do that because the robot has not had a life.
The science fiction author William Gibson once said, "The future is already here. It's just not evenly distributed yet." In Japan, robots are being used to care for the elderly. Men are having relationships with virtual women who exist only in a portable video game, even taking them out on dates. An American company has created robot bartenders. Perhaps they will listen to our problems. Reuben doesn't think it's all bad. A cute robot might do a better job at getting people to answer questions honestly.
Asking about embarrassing symptoms before you see a person doctor, explaining those embarrassing symptoms to a machine or a computer or a robot or whatever, people tend to be more honest because they don't feel embarrassed telling that to something that's not human.
Robots will become more human and more social. What Reuben hopes is that his art will provoke us to think about how we want to use their power. Laura Seidel, NPR News.